Welcome back to the Western Bowhunter Podcast with your host, South Cox of Stalker Stick Bows.
Welcome back to the Western Bowhunter Podcast. This is South Cox, the last week of May. Good grief, it is going by fast. And I am getting my butt kicked in the draws. I hope you guys are having better luck than me. One tag in particular I thought I was going to get for sure was a Wyoming elk tag that I was going to be going on with the guys there at Born and Raised Outdoors. And according to Go Hunt's draw odds from last year, I think we were supposed to have like one more, like an extra point or maybe even more than that, padding to ensure that we got the tag. And wouldn't you know, somebody or a bunch of somebodies with more points must have decided to cash their points in this year and got a goose egg on that one. So that left a hole in the middle of September for me, the middle 10 days of September, which was going to be a little dicey anyway. I had, if everything went the way I was hoping, I was going to have a straight 30 days out in the field, one hunt rolling directly into another with three back-to-back hunts. So I'm sure my wife is breathing a sigh of relief that I didn't draw there. So now that only leaves me with one shot to fill my freezer with elk meat this year, and that would be Colorado. So hopefully that happens, and because I sure have been enjoying the last couple of years with a bulging freezer, and we've been heavy on the consumption of protein. So if we have to go a year without an elk in the freezer, we're going to be one hurting family. Any case, we are going to do another Patrick McManus this week's from another one from A Fine and Pleasant Misery, and this one's called The Bar. Rancid Crabtree was ranting and raving when he charged into our kitchen. "There's a gold dang bar in my brush pile," he said. My grandmother's nose quivered. "Open the window, child," she said to me. Personally, I thought Rancid had a rather interesting smell, kind of tangy, like game hung a bit too long in warm weather. "What's this about a bear?" Graham asked, shoveling a couple of fresh-baked cinnamon rolls in front of Rancid and pouring him a cup of coffee. "There's a bar in my brush pile," Rancid repeated, "and thank the critters plans on passing the winter thar." "Well, what's that hurt?" Graham said. Rancid looked at her in disgust. "You can't never tell when I might need that brush pile for something," he said. "What right's that bar got moving in like he owned the place? Any number of nice caves around, but he's got a hole up in my brush pile. Well, I ain't got a stand for it. Besides, I've been hungering for some bar steak anyway." "Then shoot him and be done with it," Graham said. "That's what I need the boy for." "What?" Graham said. "What?" I said. "Needs him to stand on top of the brush pile and poke a pole down into it and drive that bar out so I can get a shot. Won't be nothing to it." "There won't be nothing to it, all right," Graham said, "because I ain't letting him do a dangerous, foolish thing like that." Graham and I agreed on a few things, but this happened to be one of them. Just to make it look good, I threw out a half-hearted beg. Come on, Graham, let me do it," I said. "Nope." "All right." There was no point in pushing her too hard. "What's the matter?" Rancid said, giving me his mean look. "Your beggar broke?" I could see he was disappointed. "Hey," I said, "how about Ginger Ann? I bet she'd do it." Ginger Ann was a woman who lived alone in the hills on a little ranch she had inherited from her father. I had heard it said that of her that she could work out, outwork, outfight, and outswear any man in the county. Once I'd seen her ornery old cow horse throw her flat on her back for no good reason I could see, except he thought it might be a good joke. She was up in a flash, fists doubled and biceps knotted up to the size of grapefruit. She delivered the beast such a blow to the ribs, he would have fallen over sideways except for a nearby tree. While he was still dazed, she stepped back into the saddle and said to me, "Don't mind us, boy, we do this all the time." That was one of the reasons I thought Ginger Ann might be just the person to drive a bear out of a brush pile. "Gold dang," Rancid said. "I never thought of Ginger Ann. I bet she would do it." "I wouldn't mind going along to watch," I said. "Suit yourself," Rancid said. "You just take care you don't get hurt," Graham warned. "Shucks, that bar ain't gonna hurt nobody," Rancid said. "It ain't the bear I'm worried about," Graham said. We got into Rancid's old truck and rattled over to Ginger Ann's place, an ancient log house slouched among a scattering of pine trees and the assorted remains of hay wagons, cars, trucks, tractors, and contraptions that defied identification. She seemed delighted to see us. "I was wondering if you would help me to shoot a bar," Rancid said to her. "You bet," Ginger Ann said, taking her 30-30 off the wall. "Let's go." "Hold on a minute," Rancid said. "You won't be needing that thing, because I'm going to do the shooting myself. All you need for is to drive the bar out of my brush pile." Ginger Ann shoved a box of shells in her jacket pocket. "Why can't you drive the bear out and let me shoot it?" "Ha," Rancid said, "'cause you're just a woman, that's why. I never knowed a woman who yet could shoot worth a dang." Ginger Ann stepped out on the porch and pointed to an old car door leaning on against a tree 30 yards away. "You see that itty-bitty patch of rust just to the top of the left hinge?" She jacked a shell into the chamber, put the rifle to her shoulder, and fired. The door jumped. There was some question later about whether the door actually jumped, but I saw it. We walked over, and there was a single bullet hole in the door drilled neatly through the rust patch. "Well, anyway," Rancid said, "a car door ain't no bar, and get to shooting, and that thar is it to it." "I'll arm wrestle you then," Ginger Ann said. "Winner shoots the bear." Rancid sneaked a glance over her right at her right arm. "I ain't arm wrestling no woman." They argued and yelled at each other. All the time we were driving to Rancid's place, but finally Ginger gave in and said yes, she'd drive the bear out of the brush pile. "All this fighting's got me set on edge," Rancid said. "Let's go in my cabin and I'll bus us up a pot of coffee, then we'll go get the bar." Ginger Ann looked around the cabin while Rancid was blowing dust out of an extra couple of cups and putting the coffee on. "Why don't you ever clean this place up?" she said. "Gol dang, what are you talking about, woman?" Rancid said, his feelings obviously hurt. "I just cleaned it up." "When?" "Well, let's see, what month is it now? Anyway, not too long ago." While we were drinking our coffee, Rancid laid out his plan for us. He drew a circle with his finger on the dust on the table. Inside the circle, he put a dot. "This hires the brush pile," he said, indicating the circle. "And this is the bear, I suppose," Ginger Ann said, pointing to the dot. "Nope," Rancid said. "That's you standing on top of the brush pile. Directly underneath you is the bar." "Oh," Ginger Ann said. Rancid drew a little X 6 inches out from the circle. "This here is me." Then he made a dotted line from the dot in the circle halfway out to the X. "This is the bar coming out of the brush pile. I'll shoot it right thar." Ginger Ann reached forward with her finger and extended the dotted line out to the X and made a violent swirling motion that sent a little puff of dust into the air. "What you go and do that fur?" Rancid said. "That's what will happen if you miss the bear," Ginger Ann said with a laugh that rattled the stovepipe. "Ha," Rancid said, "I don't miss." He looked down at the spot where the little X had been erased. "On the other hand, can probably get a better shot if I stand over here," and he drew another X some distance off to one side. "Where's Pat gonna stand?" Ginger Ann asked. "There ain't enough room on the table to show that," I said. When we had finished the coffee, Rancid put on his dirty red hunting shirt, my lucky shirt, picked up his ancient 30-30, and we headed out to the brush pile. Ginger Ann carried the pole over her shoulder. The brush pile was in the middle of a small clearing Rancid had cut in the woods when he was a young man and thinking of becoming a farmer. This evidence of ambition embarrassed him considerably, and he explained it away by saying, "I was insane at the time." "Smell that bar smell?" Rancid whispered when we got to the clearing. "No," Ginger Ann whispered. "All I can smell is..." "When was the last time you took a bath anyway, Rancid?" "What yar is it now?" Rancid said. The brush pile was about 8 feet high and laced with small logs sticking out at every angle. On one side of it was what appeared to be an opening, the place where Rancid had indicated the bear would exit. After sizing up the situation and making a number of calculations based on previous experiences I had had with Rancid, I selected a moderately tall tamarack tree and climbed about halfway up it. My perch on a stout limb gave me a good view of the scene. Rancid took up his position off to one side of what he determined to be the bear's path of escape. He seemed a bit nervous. I could see him rummaging around in his pockets looking for something. Then he pulled out a plug of tobacco and took a great chaw off of it. He limbered up his arms and threw up the rifle onto his shoulder a couple of times for practice. All this time, Ginger Ann stood leaning on the pole, watching him and shaking her head as if she couldn't believe it all. Finally, Rancid motioned to her to climb up on top of the brush pile, and he went into a half crouch, rifle at the ready. Ginger Ann made such a commotion climbing up the brush pile that I decided there wasn't a bear in there anyway, either that or he was dead or stone deaf. When she was at last on top of the brush pile, she poked down several times into the brush pile with the pole. Nothing happened. I could see that Rancid was getting exasperated. "Gold dang it, woman," he finally shouted. "Jam that pole down there hard. If you know so much about it, you knot-headed ignoramus. Why don't you come do it yourself?" Ginger Ann shouted back. "I should have known thar better'n to bring a woman to do a boy's job," Rancid said. "Let me show you how to do it." He leaned his rifle against a tree and started for the brush pile. By now, Ginger Ann's face was red from rage. She lifted the pole above her head and drove it down with all her might into the brush. I didn't see all that happened next because I blinked. The bear didn't bother using the door to the brush pile, but just crashed out through the side of it, the side towards Rancid. The brush pile seemed to explode, and Ginger Ann toppled over backwards, screaming, "Shoot, Rancid, shoot, before it's too late!" Well, it was about the most exciting and interesting spectacle I'd ever had the good fortune to witness for free. I saw Rancid turn and run, and I thought he was going to go for the rifle, but he went right past without even giving it a glance. Right then was when I blinked. When the blink was over, the bear was just a black streak 20 yards away. A few feet ahead of the black streak was a dirty red streak. Rancid's hat was still suspended in the air where he'd been standing when the bear came out of the brush pile. Ginger Ann finally hit the ground, still screaming, "Shoot, shoot!" Off in the distance, I could see the black streak and the red streak going up a hill. About halfway up the hill, the black streak passed the red streak, but Rancid was apparently so intent on making a good show he didn't even notice. Or maybe he was running with his eyes shut. In any case, when they went over the hill, Rancid was still running hard and looked as if he might be gaining on the bear. I slid down out of the tree, and Ginger Ann ran around the brush pile and grabbed Rancid's rifle. "Are you going after him?" I asked. "No," she said. "If they run by here again, maybe I'll shoot the bear for Rancid. Then again, maybe I won't." After about 20 minutes, a bedraggled Rancid came shuffling back to the clearing. Without saying a word, he took his rifle out of Ginger Ann's hand and headed for the cabin. Ginger Ann and I trailed along behind. "No point in feeling bad about it," Ginger Ann said after a bit. "It could have happened to anybody." "I had my mouth all set for them bar steak," Rancid said glumly. "I guess I should have let you do the shooting." "Shucks," Ginger Ann said. "I couldn't even hit an old car door. You know that bullet hole in the rust spot? Why, that's been in there ever since my daddy shot it there several years ago." "Ha," Rancid said, brightening up. "I knowed it better. But," I said, Come on in the door, in the cabin, Rancid said to Ginger Ann, and I'll bile us up another pot of coffee. Don't mind if I do, she said. But, Rancid, I said. See you later, Ginger Ann said to me. She shoved Rancid into the cabin and shut the door before I could warn him. I couldn't understand it. Ginger Ann had made one of the finest shots I'd ever seen, and then she turned right around and lied about it. She had to be up to something, but I didn't know what, and it worried me. Before going home, I yelled at the top of my voice, I saw the car door jump when she saw it shot, Rancid. I saw it jump. But he didn't seem to hear me. All right. Hope you guys enjoyed that one. I will catch up to you next week with another episode of a podcast here on the Western Bowhunter Podcast. Thanks for tuning in.
If you have a question, topic, or guest that you'd like to hear about, log on to iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Rate the podcast, and in the review, leave your question, topic, or guest suggestion. Any questions posted will be answered at the beginning of the next recorded podcast. Topics and guest suggestions will be considered and pursued. Additionally, the rating will help the podcast grow. You can further support the podcast by logging on to the Stalker Stickbows website and purchasing a Western Bowhunter Podcast t-shirt or window sticker from the Stalker store. Thanks for your support. I come down for-